Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Ready. Radio, and welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it here. Hour number three, if you missed any parts of our first couple of hours, lots of great stuff. We talked with David Shistokas, Constitution Day, but we also talked about the dangers of where we are, violations of the 4th, 5th, and 6th Amendments of the Constitution are happening, and the danger of the 17th Amendment and what that's done to really injure our constitutional republic. So we talked about all those things. Hope you will take time to listen to that. Also, Melanie Collette was with us. We talked a little bit about the BRIC situation. We'll get into that more in the future. Hope you'll give that a listen. And then we just finished a conversation with Rick Manning as my co-host and Texas House Representative Steve Toth talking about the acquittal of Attorney General Ken Paxton and the message that was sent simply by the fact that he was impeached by a Republican House majority in a red state. And what message does that send to other attorneys general across the country as they really ultimately what he was impeached about came down to he was fighting against the federal government. And so the establishment Republicans decided they didn't want him to do that. Anyway, give that a listen. I think you'll find it eye-opening and something that we need to be very involved and concerned with. All right, joining me now, Newsbusters, Free Speech America, and CensorTrack.org, Michael Morris. Michael, welcome. Good to have you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of interesting stories going on. One of the stories that I think is out there is the Ray Epps story.
Yeah. Heard that on this morning. Larry O'Connor was talking about it on WNAL. Very interesting stuff. Looks like he's getting a slap on the wrist. Meanwhile, other protesters are getting years for similar or even in some cases lesser crimes. Than what may have been incitement. I mean, there's video of Ray Epps actually out there saying we should storm the Capitol building. And you know, conservatives and Republicans probably saw this on some of the non-legacy media outlets being played, but the legacy media, of course, buried this story.
Well, and I think that's that's what we're here to talk about, right? Is the disproportionate use of media and how free press just doesn't seem to be free press anymore. It really seems to be guided press and significant indoctrination. One of those issues is the U.S. Supreme Court, which has unfrozen an order curbing the Biden administration's contact with social media outlets.
Yeah, look, you know, this is an interesting case. It's something that MRC Free Speech America has been aware of for quite some time now. Actually, it's the Missouri v. Biden case. It's made its way up through the ranks, and now it's going to the Supreme Court. They're slated to hear it on September 22nd. Now, what Samuel Alito did is not unusual. A lot of times what they'll do is they'll unfreeze these injunctions and things like that when they take it up at the Supreme Court level. So this is not unusual. This is, more par for the course. But back to the Missouri v. Biden case, on the whole, what is it about? Well, it's about the Biden administration colluding with big tech companies to censor Americans' free speech online. That's the allegation there. And it actually is central to that case is CensorTrack.org data. They actually use data from MRC Free Speech America's CensorTrack.org as a central issue in the case, showing massive amounts of censorship of criticism of Joe Biden. And so, you know, incredible stuff here. And wouldn't you know it, Biden's government is actually begging the Supreme Court to intervene, and of course they did. The filing came September 14th, the Biden administration saying a central dimension of presidential power is the use of the office's bully pulpit to seek to persuade Americans and American companies to act in ways that the president believes would advance the public interest. All well and good, but what the Constitution prohibits is government agencies compelling private industry to do things that the Constitution expressly forbids. And in this particular case, that is suppressing Americans' free speech.
Well, it's interesting, and along the lines of that, you guys have an article up about YouTube, who has punished Russell Brand. Russell Brand, and I'm trying to remember. So there were several situations that all came out kind of on the same day that more or less countered. I think it was when Hunter Biden was being indicted regarding gun charges. And I think that Russell Brand's, the accusations against him that he is being accused of some kind of sexual harassment charge, came out basically on the same day. And I'm trying to remember who else it was. There was somebody that came out and, Kristi Noem. The Kristi Noem story. Kristi Noem was accused of having an affair with Corey Lewandowski on the same day that she came out and endorsed President Trump a week ago, this past Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, what's incredible here is, look, you know, Brand is no conservative. He's no right-leaning individual. He's not a Republican. Brand is a free thinker. He's an actor. He's a comedian. And it's interesting that these allegations almost always seem to, you know, crop up after someone on the left has been speaking out against the left's preferred narrative. Russell Brand's been speaking out against COVID-19 mandates. He's been speaking in favor of free speech. He's been going after Big Pharma. He's been speaking out against the World Economic Forum, among other things. And notice what the media doesn't continue to cover, and notice what YouTube doesn't censor. There were allegations against Charlie Rose, and yet Charlie Rose's YouTube channel is still up. There were allegations against Senator Al Franken, and yet Al Franken has a podcast, and his YouTube channel is still up. But Russell Brand on allegations is being punished by YouTube for allegations, not convictions, not an arrest, allegations. So why is Charlie Rose and why is Al Franken still up? YouTube, that's the question.
Well, and the things that both Al Franken and Charlie Rose say follow the narrative that they want followed. I'm banned on YouTube. As you know, I sent that into CensorTrack. I'm banned on Vimeo. I'm banned on LinkedIn. I'm still banned on X. Again, because I put out things that didn't follow their narrative.
Yep, and this is something that we see time and time again. Big tech companies, anytime you run astray or run afoul of the less preferred narrative on the topic du jour, you see individuals getting censored. And it always seems to come on one side too, doesn't it? The right is getting censored time and time again, and the leftist media will try to pretend that it's not happening, but it is, and we have the receipts, censortrack.org. We're almost at 6,000 documented cases, and look, what we have in our database barely scratches the surface, and we know that. But when the left says there is no censorship, censorship isn't happening to the right, we can demonstrate with documented cases that it, in fact, is happening. Go and check it out, censortrack.org.
Now, one of the other stories that you're covering is the way in which Twitter, as an example, is targeting 2024 candidates. And I guess if you're, again, if you're not on the right side of that, you know, like RFK Jr. is an example of that, right? He doesn't get any coverage at all. Vivek, you know, irrespective of what you think about, but Vivek seems to be another one that gets some censorship with regards to him. But talk to me about the Twitter targeting of 2024 candidates.
So this is an interesting one, and it actually goes in a direction that many of your viewers might not even know about. So big tech as a whole as we were just discussing, largely censors information wholly one-sided against the right. But Twitter is a little bit different since Elon Musk has taken over. He's using what was formerly known as the Birdwatch program under the former regime of Jack Dorsey and the censorship cabal that was over there. He's using Birdwatch. Birdwatch is a program where volunteers could actually get accredited by Twitter, or now X, to go in and fact-check information written by other users on the platform. Now, it's called Community Notes now. Musk has rebranded it, called it Community Notes. And because Musk is pushed more towards a free speech side for Twitter, for X, conservatives and people on the right are using the platform more, it seems. And so a lot of the Community Notes are actually going after President Joe Biden. So this is a change. This is something that's happened, again, post-Musk taking over the platform. So it's very interesting. And look, the Community Notes, in large part, are pointing out the truth. You know, Biden is, in a lot of cases, saying things that are factually inaccurate, false, lies, things that they're not true, objectively. And so the Community Notes call that out. But isn't that exactly what other people posting on the platform are supposed to be able to do? Call out lies, call out factually inaccurate information. We don't need big tech companies slapping fact checks and censoring posts, even when it's something that is factually inaccurate, even when it's wrong. People are smart enough to see this on their own. We don't want big tech companies putting their thumb on the scale. And that's exactly what Twitter is doing with Community Notes. Again, it's a carryover from the former regime, Jack Dorsey's regime, the censorship cabal over there. And it's not good. Musk should be adhering to the free speech principles that he says he adheres to, instead of pushing forward with the Community Notes. And this freedom of speech but not reach thing is also nonsense. For your viewers that aren't aware of it, Musk has said that if you say something that runs afoul or is close to running afoul of X's policies, what they'll do is you can post. And they'll allow you to do that, but hardly anyone, if anyone at all, will be able to see it. That's what that means, freedom of speech, not reach. Well, if no one can read what you say, then you still don't have free speech. That's still censorship. So these are bad things. Musk shouldn't be doing them, and he actually adheres to the rhetoric that he's been saying.
Well, and we'll have to see how that plays. And another piece that is, you know, again, you know, you're not allowed to talk about is the issue of transgender, and you're screened if you talk in terms of what they're doing to our children, and you bring up the transgender agenda.
Yeah, absolutely right. Big tech across the board has been censoring on the transgender issue for quite some time. And we actually discovered, again, back to the X platform, that there was an internal revolt of sorts, it appears, on the X platform. And Musk was actually having to fight people in his own platform to allow for free speech on the transgender issue. He actually posted the What is a Woman video put out by Matt Walsh with the folks over there at Daily Wire on his own feed to make a point to his employees that this is something that should be allowed on the platform, and actually changed X's policies. Back then it was still Twitter, to allow for speaking out against such things. You see people like Haya Reichick and others, that's the Libs of TikTok account holder, speaking out against this sort of thing. And it, you know, it absolutely is free speech. It's something that should be allowed.
So what are the other top stories, Michael, that you're looking at and where you're seeing this media bias that we talk about?
Sure. Yeah, well, a couple of things, actually. We've been looking at government lately. Unfortunately, it's not just big tech companies. It's big tech companies in conjunction with federal government going after free speech and again, putting their thumbs on the scale. And it's incredible stuff. This is in a lot of ways unconstitutional what's been happening. So Secretary of State Blinken actually said, quote, "Democracy depends on free speech and open exchange of ideas, including online, On this International Day of Democracy, I call on governments around the world to protect citizens' access to information that allows them to make informed decisions. And look, that's a great statement. I agree with him. He said that on September 18th. He's absolutely right. What's incredible, though, is his own State Department has been implicated in the attack on free speech. So, for example, the State Department-backed National Endowment for Democracy actually helped fund the Global Disinformation Index. Now, this index actually urged ad companies to drop news sites that reported information that countered the left's preferred narrative on COVID-19 and its origins. So, again, using government dollars to pressure ad companies to censor information that goes against the left narrative. I don't think that's free speech. That doesn't line up at all with what Blinken was saying. It goes further. The Biden administration also used the State Department's foreign intelligence tools to censor Americans domestically. I mean, this is outrageous. This is according to the America First Legal Foundation. You know, incredible stuff, but it doesn't end there. Mayorkas, all right? Everyone is very familiar with the scandal plagued Mayorkas at the DHS. He said DHS will only acquire and use artificial intelligence in a manner that is consistent with the Constitution and all other applicable laws and policies. Well, I've got a problem with that, Mayorkas. Why? Well, the DHS, it actually created something called the Disinformation Governance Board, Orwellian as it gets. Now, this board was to go after misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. What does that sound like? Well, that's left to speak for more censorship. Here's what DHS said. DHS will not collect, use, or disseminate data used in AI activities or establish AI-enabled systems that make or support decisions based on the inappropriate consideration of race, ethnicity, gender, national origin, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, age, nationality, medical condition, or disability. Well, guess what? The list goes on. According to Freedom of Information Act investigations, MRC Free Speech America uncovered DHS's Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Grant Program. Now, we talked about this with your audience before, Pastor Greg. TBTP was actually weaponized. This is the DHS grant program, weaponized against Christians, conservatives, and Republicans under the Biden administration. DHS actually worked with four private groups also to censor alleged election, quote unquote, misinformation before, during, and after the 2020 election. So how can we trust you, Mayorkas, when you say that you're going to adhere to constitutional principles, applicable laws, and policies? Guess what? We can't.
Yeah, well, there are so many issues with regards to Mayorkas and things that he has said, things that he has said about the border. I don't know. The list just goes on and on and on. So, yeah, I would say that it's very difficult to trust somebody that has proven themselves to be untrustworthy.
And look, they're using big tech as a means to accomplish things that they can't do themselves because they're constitutionally prohibited from doing so. And that kind of goes back to the case we were talking about earlier, Missouri v. Biden. So it's an important case. We'll see where it goes. It's coming up on September 22nd, so just in a couple of days here. You know, but big tech should not be colluding with government to censor Americans. Government should not be pressuring private industry to do what it is not what is expressly prohibited to do under the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. What else do we have? That's a part of our conversation. Well, the election interference. There are nine. You've got listed here nine big Biden scandals that the network has completely avoided. And it's interesting. I read something earlier this morning that was talking about that the defense attorney for Hunter Biden was careful to suggest that Hunter Biden, well, he never gave Joe any money. There was never any there. You don't have any evidence that they ever transferred money. And yet, if I'm not mistaken, when the members of the House, the members of Congress, started their investigation into the whole Biden thing, one of the presentations that was made had to do specifically with following the money.
Yeah, look, absolutely right. You know, we do. We have a list of 9 different things that the big three, that's ABC, CBS, and NBC, are completely ignoring. You mentioned the money. Number 8 on our list, the Biden family actually used at least 20 LLC companies to rake in over $20 million from foreign companies. ABC, CBS, and NBC, guess how much time they spent on it between May 10th and September 12th. You got it. 0 seconds. None. Not a zip. Zilch. No coverage of the money trail that the Republicans put out. You know, can you imagine if this sort of thing had been going on under the Trump administration, what a heyday the media would have had? It would have been wall-to-wall coverage. But as you mentioned, no coverage at all. Let's take a look at some of the others on the list here. We'll just kind of go through them. The first one we have here, Hunter's business partner, his name is Eric Schuerin, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, visited the White House 19 times. So this is a business partner of Hunter Biden visiting with the White House. Now, why is this important? This was back when Vice President Joe Biden was vice president with Barack Obama.
Right.
And we were told that he had no connection, no talks with Hunter Biden on business dealings overseas, and that we shouldn't worry about it, right? There's no evidence. Well, here's evidence. ABC, CBS, NBC, zero coverage. So if the American people and all these outlets say there's no evidence, it's because no one was covering it. Come on, Big Three. Where are you at? Number 2, Hunter bragged that Joe will do anything he wants. Quote, he thinks I'm God. That's a quote from Hunter Biden. How much coverage? You guessed it. Zero. ABC, CBS, NBC, nothing. Smoking gun voicemail from Joe Biden to Hunter on Chinese business dealings found? Well, an actual recording here from Joe Biden, wouldn't you know? Zero coverage. Republicans demanded answers about oil sale to Hunter-linked China company. So this is China. This is an enemy of the United States of America. This is not an ally here. ABC, CBS, NBC, 0 seconds of coverage. The big guy. We've heard this a little bit on the media, right? No, wrong. Joe Biden's big guy alias was used by another one of Hunter's business partners. Zero coverage in the media. Maybe your viewers will remember we talked about this back when it came out. Mark Zuckerberg actually went on with Joe Rogan to do an interview about the New York Post Hunter Biden laptop story was actually brought up. And Mark Zuckerberg said that there was a vague FBI warning about Russian propaganda coming out before the 2020 election. Well, guess what the quote-unquote Russian propaganda was? Well, it was the Hunter Biden laptop story. And guess how much coverage that Mark Zuckerberg's admission got? Zero. Zero coverage from ABC, CBS, NBC. Are you noticing a trend here?
Yep, absolutely.
Zero coverage.
Yeah, and just to close it out, we're running right at the edge of our time, but net censored Biden's Burisma bribery scandal. As you mentioned, the Biden family used at least 20 LLCs. Joe Biden sent 5,400 emails using pseudonyms. Folks, I mean, over and over and over again, there's massive evidence to support an impeachment, which is what they're now talking about, and we didn't really get to that, but that's what this is about, is all of this massive evidence, and yet you had a non-existent Russia that led to an impeachment of the former president, President Donald Trump, where there was no evidence. Now we have massive evidence, and nobody even wants to talk about it. Michael, thank you for Newsbusters, Free Speech America, and CensorTrack.org, and all that you do to expose the truth. We appreciate you.
Happy to do it. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. All right, we'll be back. Coming up, Dee Dee Loguson joins me. We're going to talk about what's happening with Aberzajan and the Armenian genocide that's taking place there once again. We'll be back to talk about that and also what's happening in India. Again, lots happening with regards to the persecution of Christians. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. I do know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I'm very, very pleased to welcome to the program. She is the executive director of Save the Persecuted Christian. She's with us here on a monthly basis, and I'm always thrilled to have her join us. Welcome, Dee Dee Loggison. And Dee Dee, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Pastor. Great to be here with you and all your peeps.
Well, boy, there's a lot for us to discuss. So much that is going on. So much that is taking place around the world. Let's start with Azerbaijan and what's happening there with regards to and I think a lot of people may not understand too. If you could just take a moment to talk about historically. This area and why this is so important, because this is a this is a historical Christian area that is now a place where Christians are being genocided.
That's right, Pastor. Historically, Azerbaijan and Armenia have fought over the territory called Nagorno-Karabakh. Armenians in Nagorno-Karabakh call it Artsakh. Artsakh, the people of Artsakh are a majority by like over 90% Armenian Christians. And this territory was granted to the Islamic Republic of Azerbaijan when Azerbaijan was still a territory of the Soviet Union. It was folded into that territory. After the Soviet Union fell, the people in Artsakh activated for independence, but were not granted it. So Armenia and Azerbaijan have gone back and forth fighting two wars over Nagorno-Karabakh, including in 2020 when Azerbaijan was dropping drones on Nagorno-Karabakh, just killing all kinds of people and terrorizing the people there. What this is, Pastor Greg, and in the last 8 months, just to step back for a moment, in the last 8 months, in December of last year, some environmental terrorists blocked off the only land route from Armenia into Nagorno-Karabakh that is protected by Russian peacekeepers. They blocked it off, for some kind of environmental protest that went on and on until April, when Azerbaijan finally declared it as an actual roadblock, a siege of the people of Armenia has been taking place for 8 months. No food into the area, no electricity, no internet. People are dying. Snipers are shooting at farmers trying to harvest in the field, and people are being kidnapped when they're being medically evacuated across the border and disappeared. So this is another Armenian genocide. The Azerbaijani regime is looking to destroy the population, just clear it out of there. They're looking to kill them. So a lot of, we did a webinar on this for Save the Persecuted Christians in August. And just today we heard that on Monday, the Azerbaijanis let the food trucks in that have been sitting there for 3 months waiting to go in. And they delivered all of the supplies. And then on Tuesday, when people were coming to get them, Azerbaijan started dropping bombs on them again. It's horrible.
This is not the first Armenian genocide either. I mean, you can go all the way back to World War I from 1914 to 1918. And there was an Armenian genocide that took place that was led by the Ottoman Empire. How is it that Turkey is able to shield itself, if you will, from international outrage over these Armenian genocides?
Well, your question is a good one, because Turkey continues to support the violence that Azerbaijan is raining down on the Christians in Nagorno-Karabakh with military weapons. But to be honest, Greg, so is the United States. We sell millions to Azerbaijan on a regular basis every year. The 907 sanctions have to be lifted by the president. These don't allow for military sales to Azerbaijan, but they continuously get lifted. We give them arms, and they take and turn around and bomb the Christians there. So Turkey, the United States, and in the UK, the oil magnate BP is finding new natural gas reservoirs in Azerbaijan. So they're cozying up with them, too. All of the geopolitical complications mean that the Christians of Nagorno-Karabakh are left completely vulnerable. And there's some 120,000 of them inside the territory, with at least 30,000 of them being children. And we are already hearing of children dying from starvation.
Oh, my goodness. What can be done? What can we do? What actions can my listeners take regarding this? And we've got several topics for you this morning, by the way. We're going to talk about what's going on with India and Canada, and in just a minute, we're going to talk about something that's very near and dear to my heart, because what Canada is doing right now is funding and supporting the genocide of Christians in Punjab. I just want you to understand, Canada is funding the genocide of all these services you see me do, that we're doing so many of here on this program. Canada has begun funding the population that is committing genocide against all the churches and the Christians and these people that we are reaching out to through my program. But talk about what we can do for the Armenians, and then we'll switch over to the Canada situation.
Certainly. First off, get informed. Watch the webinar that Save the Persecuted Christians produced in August. It's up at savethepersecutedchristians.org. There have been a U.S. congressional and Senate hearing on Artsakh, and there will be a bill coming forward. So please contact your members of Congress and tell them to please support the people, the Christians of Armenia, against genocide.
Okay, very good. And you can reach out 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121 is the Capitol switchboard, and you can contact your congressional members and ask them, and give us the terminology again, Didi. I apologize.
And ask them to stop the 907 sanctions from the United States.
Okay. Stop the 907 sanctions.
Keep them in place. Keep them in place. Yes.
Okay. Very good. All right. Let's talk about what's happening with regards to Canada a little bit. Now, folks, this is Trudeau. There was an attempted assassination of a representative of the Indian government in Canada. Is that correct, Dini?
Yes. So Canada convicted a Khalistani terrorist, and these are the Sikhs who live in Canada and in India who are agitating for an independent state called Khalistan, which is Punjab. So, you know, what we're seeing is that Canada, Justin Trudeau, invited a Khalistani terrorist that has been convicted by a Canadian court to 20 years for his part in attempted murder of a visiting Indian state prime minister.
Yep.
Pictures of him posing with Trudeau's wife, Sophie, at a banquet in Mumbai were splashed across the media outlets in India. And, you know, this criminal, Jaspal Atwal, being welcomed to a formal dinner reception with Trudeau in India and hosted by the Canadian High Commission is just a slap in the face to the people of India.
Sure.
And most especially to the victims in Punjab who are suffering at the hands of these terrorists. Now, the people in Canada has the highest population of Sikhs outside of Punjab. And these Sikhs in Canada say that Khalistan does not represent them. But Prime Minister Trudeau is elevating the cause of the Khalistani terrorists and you know, Australia and the United States are calling this into question, as should all of us.
And this is, you know, for those that follow my program, you'll remember that, you know, just a few months back, for almost a year, we had to suspend all of our outreach because of the danger that was associated with this Khalistani movement and threats. And we ultimately also had to put cameras at Pastor Samuel's home. We had to put cameras at our church. We have had to take some pretty extreme measures in order to try to protect our followers and our outreaches from being sabotaged. And I've shared this before. I'm not going to show you the picture right now, but we just actually just reached out again to the woman whose husband was murdered several years back. It's been a while, but her husband was murdered for conversion to Christian faith from Sikh by this same element. And then her daughter, who had just recently taken a job working at a hospital and met a young man and thought that she'd fallen in love. And lo and behold, he turned out to be a Sikh nationalist, and his family were Sikh nationalists, and they were supposedly engaged to be married. The family and the fiancé lured her away and then beheaded her.
Oh, my goodness. This is just deplorable. It is... I'm so sorry to hear that, Pastor. Your people are suffering so much. And throughout the summer, the Sikhs in Punjab have been so violent towards them. And this does not get covered in the news media. Of course, we've heard about what's going on in Manipur, India, but that situation also is being suppressed, not only by the mainstream media, but by the Indian government. Yeah. And of course, we know that the Sikhs are an offshoot, a splinter group of Hinduism. And so there's always been a sense of protection from the Indian government over the Sikhs. And most of the world believes them to be very peaceful in their expression of their religion. And yet we have this situation in India where the Sikhs are actually going up against the Indian regime. And it's just this big mess.
Yep.
But the people who are suffering the most are the innocent Christians,
yes,
in India, who are caught between all of it and never get the light of day shined on their cases of this intense human rights abuse upon them for their beliefs.
Well, and we had some individuals that went to some of the gatherings that took place last October, were these Sikh gatherings, and we intercepted some of their correspondence and then brought it back as intel, where they were saying that they're going out like they're doing in Canada and here in America, where they are getting they're pretending that they are. I mean, there is persecution per se, but they use that we are, we're the poor Sikhs, we're being persecuted, give us money, send us donations, we help us to raise funds. But then those monies are going back to this Khalistani element in Punjab, who is then using that money to essentially attack, not essentially, they are, to attack Christians, to set churches on fire, vehicles on fire, to go into, we have video recording of them going into some of our meetings with their machetes and their clubs, beating people and chopping people and cutting people and murdering. The one instance that I told you of, that's just one. I have more pictures of them where they literally beat a young lady to death at the church service. She was carried home and then she died at home. This is horrific what is taking place. So I encourage you, don't give money to them, please. Don't.
And you know, the Indian diaspora in the United States has grown so strong, and this is a very strong Hindu moored community in the United States that is very politically active, and these are the ones that support Modi and the Hindutva, which
is the other side of it.
But they're growing very strong, and the same violence that India allows in the streets in India is coming to the United States. And we see because these groups are given so much rein here in the United States and so much political support from both sides of the aisle, and they're never held to account for what's happening to the religious minorities in India. Yep. And now we see this group in Canada has likewise grown strong because of their calling upon themselves this, we're hurting.
Oh, woe is us. Woe is us. Yeah.
The most persecuted group in the world are Christians, and Christians are the ones who are ignored, are not receiving the funding, and are being obliterated in India and Pakistan, all over the world. This is what needs the help. Help save the persecuted Christians. Well, please help us.
and here's the thing, folks, to really understand about all of this, okay? The United States of America is a Christian nation. That's why they go after that core. That's why they have attacked it. That's why the schools for the last 50 years have indoctrinated Christianity out of their curriculum, taken God out of the picture. And now what do we have coming in its place? We have Islam coming in its place. We have Hinduism. We have this Sikh offshoot. We have all of these others that are coming in.
Radical secularism.
Absolutely. Which and radical secularism and atheism is happy to entertain Islam and the Hindu and the Sikh violence, so long as it is focused at extinguishing the light and the fire of Christianity. That's the focus. That's the purpose. And so here we have this situation where now Christians around the world are looking to us because we had normally been there for them and are saying, America, where are you in the midst of this fight? If the light of Christ goes out in the world will become a dark place. Now, we know that Revelation tells us that that's going to happen. We know that at a certain point in tribulation, the Holy Spirit is going to be removed from this planet. I hope and pray that we get raptured out of here. I don't know. There's a lot of debate whether we will, we won't. I don't know. But I can tell you, and Dee Dee sees this firsthand, and I'm on these calls with her as well, and I'm honored to be a part of this. Look, here in the West, we have been softened and made very fortunate that we are not experiencing the kind of persecution that we hear about, Dee Dee hears about it daily, that I hear about on a regular basis as well, and to assume that somehow we're going to get out of this with unscathed in any way is arrogant, it's foolish. And if we don't wake up,
it's not going to happen.
Well, no, if we don't, I mean, we are, in a manner of speaking, and this isn't replacement theology, but we are, in a manner of speaking, we're Israel, and the Babylonians have taken over our country. Okay? That's what's going on here right now. And we are the Christians, and we have allowed Babylon to take over our government, and we are about ready to reap what we have sown. And it ain't good.
Yeah, and Babylon is coming at us even today, Pastor Greg, through the UN-WHO high-level meetings on the pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. And we need to take action on that.
Go, no, we got 7 minutes. That's why goodness. I was leading That's right into great. That. Yep.
Wonderful. So glad to talk about it. So, gosh, we have our hands in all kinds of pots going on right now, but we are also helping to support the work of the Sovereignty Coalition to get the United States to exit these international organizations. They're going for a global governance power grab, and they're doing it today. The vote on the pandemic treaty and the amendments to the international health regulations is not supposed to take place till next May. But today at the UN, all the nation states are gathered for the General Assembly. This high-level meeting that is being hosted by both the UN and the WHO is intended to produce a political declaration of support for the power grab happening at the WHO. and also for the UN's Emergency Platform on Sustainable Development Goals. So both the UN and the WHO are working to implement some what is called customary law, which Francis Boyle, Dr. Francis Boyle, warns is a form of law that can be argued in courts. If we allow this to go forward, if this happens, the United States and our sovereignty is being crushed by these international organizations. And it's the Biden administration, President Joe Biden himself, who initiated these changes to the international health regulations and is pushing for the WHO and the UN to be able to censor Americans for mis- and disinformation on a whole slew of items and to track and survey us through digital IDs and also the coming central bank digital currencies. All of this has to be stopped, and it must be stopped immediately. But it only happened if the political will of the American people demands from their elected representatives that we exit the WHO and exit and defund the UN. Please go to sovereigntycoalition.org. You can take action, send an email to your elected representatives, state and federal. You can do that today. And we have a webinar today, Soft Coup, Hard Tyranny, the Spawning of Global Governance on September 20th at the UN. It's all happening today, folks. Please get engaged. We need every single American voice on board.
Hear, hear. And you can see that again up on your screen, sovereigntycoalition.org, sovereigntycoalition.org. Also direct you to get signed up at SaveThePersecutedChristians.org as well to receive the emails that come from there and to follow what's happening there. And I don't want to miss this opportunity, too, to encourage you. Dee Dee and Frank Gaffney have written a book, co-authored a book together called it's the Indictment Book, and it is outlining the danger of the CCP and who they are and what they are doing as well. Folks, there is, you know, we are in that day where danger is all around us. We need to pick up our weapons. Our weapons begin. They begin right here with this holy book. They begin right here by spending time in the Word and by allowing the Spirit of the living God to work in you and to work through you. Pick up your sword of the Spirit. Put on your helmet of salvation. Refresh and wear your breastplate of righteousness. Gird your loins with the truth and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. This is why what we're doing in Punjab is pivotal. It truly is pivotal. You have to understand, God didn't accidentally put me in this accident and put me in a wheelchair and cause me to share this testimony in a place like Punjab. It wasn't an accident. It was intentional. Punjab right now is you have Islam coming in from Pakistan. You have and Afghanistan. You have the CCP and China crushing in on Punjab from the east. And you have the internal battle of the Hindus, the Islamists, and the Sikh fighting to crush and extinguish the light of Christianity. And here is this corner of Punjab. I'm telling you, you want to talk about prophetically, biblically, where the word says what good could come out of Bethlehem, what good could come out of Nazareth. Folks, I'm telling you, when I talk to people in India, they say to me, the most difficult place to evangelize in India is Punjab. They all know it. And the fact that we are having a revival, and it's not me or Samuel, it is God. It is the Spirit of the living God. He gets the praise. He gets the glory. But the fact that we're having revival in a place like Punjab, India, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, that is a prophetic utterance about the fact that if we will turn to Him and proclaim and profess the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we can turn the whole world around, we can turn our country around, but we have got to get back to Christ.
Amen. Amen. You are so right.
Sister, thank you. I can't tell you how humbled and honored I am to have our friendship and to be associated with Save the Persecuted Christians. It is an honor. It is such an honor. And folks, I just hope that you will please go to the website, savethepersecutedchristians.org. Dee Dee, thanks again for being here. I love when you come on the show. Thanks for being with me.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take our leave. Folks, coming up next, Texas Fully Loaded on TECN-TV. TECN-TV. Man, where the conservative voices are. You need to be tuned in, and you can always stay with us on TECN-TV. I don't know what happened here with my picture. Okay, there. Man, that's scary. Too much of me. TECNTV.com and also at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. ChosenGenerationRadio.com. And at ChosenGenerationRadio.com, you can watch TECNTV all day long. Texas Fully Loaded coming up right now.